Welcome to In Focus. I'm Bob Perot. It sounds a little disorganized today, but I'm hoping that our guests are not. We've got Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit, joining us. Dr. Lee, welcome back.
Thank you. And I can't promise I'm not disorganized.
Okay, perfect. All right. And also with us, Jenny Vandermeer, Vaccine Manager, who is making her return as well. Jenny, thanks so much for being here. Always good to have the both of you on. We're going to start with you, Dr. Lee. And there's a couple of things that we want to talk to you about today. First off, we're going to address the COVID-19 statistics. Now, we've seen for a second week, the numbers have gone up again. Sadly, there was another couple of fatalities as well. The number of outbreaks went up as well. So what are your overall impressions here?
Yeah, so overall, I would say the numbers are indeed, it's hard to say. They are up compared to previous weeks, but it's slightly down compared to the previous, like last week when we last talked about this. And so it's definitely, we're definitely no longer falling in terms of case numbers. I would still give it another week or two before we see if we really are in a rise. Now, I know in the back of my mind, as I'm saying this, that we are entering the peak holidays and peak traveling and gathering and all of that. And so that definitely does make a difference in transmission of respiratory illnesses, which includes COVID-19 as well as all the other respiratory illnesses. And we'll get to that, I think, later today. But you know, when we think about the number of cases right now, what I'm also thinking about is cases down the road in a week, 2 weeks. What we're seeing for other respiratory illnesses, though, is very similar to previous weeks. We continue to see a rise in the number of cases detected in non-COVID-19, so oftentimes flu. That's the most commonly transmitted virus in our region right now, even over COVID-19, as well as other, so RSV, rhinovirus, human metapneumovirus, which is my favorite one to say, and then as well as seasonal coronavirus, which is unrelated to COVID-19. All of those are indeed transmitting in our region and continue to be rising cases as well. We continue to see a lot of volume in our assessment centers, a lot of volume in our ERs. We are seeing as well continued transmission among kids. And we know across the eastern area, which includes Ottawa as sort of our major children's hospital, that CHEO is seeing a lot of demand and a lot of hospitalizations continuing to be rising in our region. There's some early indication that perhaps the rate of rise is not as fast as it was in the previous weeks. But again, with the holiday seasons, we'll have to see in a week or two what the numbers show.
Okay. Yeah. And certainly the holiday season is always top of mind when we get to this time of year, for sure. And there's a couple of things that we want to talk to you about when it comes to that. But one of the things that you really want to make sure that people do is pause before they head out to a gathering and really to think about, okay, how am I feeling? Who's going to be there? Because we know that whether it be COVID, RSV, the flu or whatever, it can have some truly negative effects. And we've already seen that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a few key messages for gatherings this season. The first is, like I was saying in previous appearances here, please, 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 I entreat you, if you are feeling unwell, then please do not join a gathering, a party, a holiday celebration, spending time with extended family who you don't typically see. Please avoid those gatherings if you are feeling unwell. That is by far my key message. Other things that are important for these gatherings. So like I was saying, again, you know, it's a lot of repeat of previous messages, but I think sure, it bears reconfirming, right? So virtual visits where possible, you know, looking at the ventilation of the spaces you're in. So opening windows, having a lot of ventilation in those spaces is best. And as well, distancing where possible, possible. Lots of hand washing, covering your coughs, and then, of course, wearing masks where it's practical and possible as well. So that's really critical for that holiday season and for holiday parties that people are planning.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that we also want to explore a little bit here this morning is when it comes to the viruses that are out there and so on, and kids. What can you tell us about the situation involving children in Lanark, Leeds, and Granville, and these viruses?
Yeah, so I would say what's really critical to understand is that kids are getting sick, I think, in large part because they've not been getting sick up until now, right? For the past 2 or 3 years, if you think of the number of pathogens that you're exposed to in your life, when you're really, really young, you get exposed to a whole lot. And that's why when kids go to school, when they go to daycare, sometimes over the winter and season, it feels like they're sick all the time. And then oftentimes they bring it back to the family, and then the whole family is sick. And for the first, 3, 4 years of a child's life, oftentimes that's just the way it is for a number of winters. Over the course of COVID-19, we've had a number of years where there hasn't been that. And so where there's been not so much transmission of those respiratory illnesses among kids, now we're seeing that that transmission is picking up again. So it's sort of, on the one hand, parents may be a little bit out of practice or not so used to their kids being sick. And on the other hand, they're encountering those viruses that they hadn't encountered in previous years. One thing I did want to mention, because it is in the public conversation, is this idea of your immune system being like a muscle that you exercise. It's not really like that. So your immune system doesn't get, quote, stronger overall when you get exposed to specific pathogens. So your immune system, when it gets exposed to a specific pathogen, gets expertise in that specific pathogen, but it doesn't then lead to a stronger immune system overall. And so getting exposed to more pathogens doesn't necessarily mean that you have a stronger immune system in the way that, if you work out your muscles get stronger overall. That's not really how it works. Instead, the immune system really is specific for the pathogen that it encounters. And then if it encounters that pathogen in the future, oftentimes it can react quite strongly. But if it's encountering a new pathogen that it's never encountered before, then it's totally naive to it, and it doesn't react any more strongly just because it's exposed to a number of other pathogens in the past. So it's quite specific. The distinction I think that people may be getting a little bit confused on is there are things that globally affect your immune system, whether it's stronger or weaker. So, for example, certain chronic diseases will affect your immune system, certain nutritional deficiencies, etc. That will affect your immune system globally, but the specific exposure to a pathogen doesn't mean that it's going to strengthen or weaken your immune system globally.
It's a marvel, really. Like, so many other systems in our bodies, how it works, and then the fact that people can create vaccines to help them along, and so it's just incredible. There are so many people who are so much more intelligent than I doing these things, thank God. But yeah, absolutely. Now, and speaking of those vaccines, you wanted to talk to us a little bit about the bivalent booster for the ages 5 to 11.
Yeah, so really, I wanted to just put a plug in for that bivalent vaccine as a booster for kids ages 5 to 11. And so some things to mention is really we're talking about booster doses for kids in the way that we talk about booster doses for adults in terms of timing, right? So like just like with adults, with kids, the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccine is really based on how long it's been since the last dose of the vaccine. And so the booster doses are really intended to cover kids for COVID-19 vaccine protection if They haven't had their dose in a while. And so really the booster dose is to make sure that people are getting that maximum protection, the best possible protection for COVID-19. It is a bivalent booster dose. And so it does cover the original strain of the vaccine, as well as the new currently covered strains within the vaccine, very similar to the adult strain. So for those of you who are interested in knowing the specifics, it is BA.4/5. That's the additional bivalent strain within the vaccine. But again, I would emphasize, you know, it's not necessarily specifically about the type of vaccine or the vaccine product that you have, so much as how long it's been since your last dose of that COVID-19 vaccine.
Okay, and we are going to bring Jenny in on this conversation in just a moment when it comes to vaccines. But also, Jenny, feel free to chime in on this next part. Before we let the doctor go, we thought, of course, we'd ask you a few questions because Stormageddon may be brewing. There might be an incredible storm that comes our way. We know that certain areas will probably get hit harder than others, but Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville, because it extends all the way down to the Seaway, could be hit kind of hard too. We know that where we are in Perth, Smiths Falls, that area, we could see a lot of rain, could see a lot of snow, and there could be some trouble ahead. We know that our power system is certainly prone to outages just simply because of the makeup and what you need to do to get power to people in these areas. So we wanted to ask you a few questions here, and I know that there are some tips. And again, Jenny, feel free to chime in as well. I know that there's some points that you can make here too. So we'll start with you, Doctor. There are some tips that you have to help people prepare for bad weather like this when it's a brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, I'm doing all of these right now as well, like really taking a look at how prepared we are as a household. So a few things to consider. I think one of the most important is taking stock of what you have prepared, making sure that you've thought about what it means to be prepared for your household, and actually doing that over the next couple of days. So from what I read in the news, the weather is supposed to come sometime and around Thursday, and so really Thursday is tomorrow. I've lost track of the days of the week. So really today, think about what you want to what you need for your household. Some specific tips. So having fuel in your vehicle, topping it up is really important. Having just things that, so like flashlights, candles, making sure that everything that needs to be running is fully charged. So the flashlights have batteries. Anything else that you need for lights, that's sort of like a self-lighting thing, has batteries. For your phones, your laptops, the things that keep you connected, those being fully charged. If you have an external battery storage, that is also fully charged. So practical tips in terms of food and water. One is making sure you have a supply of water and ready to eat food. So whether it be canned food or other types of food that is relatively easy to prepare, that doesn't necessarily need heat, doesn't need to be staying refrigerated, etc. So that's really important to remember your pets in that as well. And in terms of food as well, just remembering to keep your fridges and freezers closed if there is a power outage, to preserve food temperatures as much as possible. And then the last is when I know a lot of people have heaters and backup heaters, it's really important not to use propane heaters inside of an enclosed structure, like inside your house or inside your garage. They really, really need to be ventilated. And the reason is because they do off-gas, and especially for CO2, and that can overtake people relatively quickly without them realizing. That's really important, not to mention other concerns such as fire hazards.
Now, Jenny, I saw you nodding your head when we were talking about food and keeping the fridges closed. Obviously, a very important step because that food, if it's exposed, and we know that the temperature in fridges can go up, it's not going to last too long if you're not too careful.
Yeah, that's right. And I know Lena covered some of the really practical things that we need to be thinking about too. And the only thing I can really add to it as well is to be checking in on your neighbors. And I know we've had some pretty incredible storms come through our region in the last couple of years. And I think of one of the most recent ones this summer and my family that were affected in the Ottawa area with power outages. But it was great to see just the neighborhood and the community come together and share food for those that needed to. And just being, you know, keen to check in, especially elderly neighbors that you might have. Really good to check in on them and make sure that everyone is safe and has the supplies that they need as well.
Yeah, and you know, still sort of on food here, Doctor. The reason why a lot of people may be thinking about this quite a bit is because a lot of people have bought extra food right now because Christmas is this
Yeah.
weekend. A lot of
Yeah.
people have these big gatherings and so on. Is it safe if it's cold enough to put it out in the snow? Or you know, there are people who have some sort of makeshift solutions. What do you suggest?
Yeah, so things to keep in mind. One is actually the weather is looking, I've been wildly checking the weather lately because we're planning to travel and I want to know when is a safe time to travel. And what I've noticed about the forecast, at least in the Brockville area, which is where I'm living, is that it seems to be that it's not always going to be below freezing over the next a number of days, including the weekend. And so, if the weather is not below freezing, then I would advise against keeping your food outside. So, really, I mean, it's not necessarily freezing. If it's not below 2 or 3 degrees, that would be the expectation that we have for keeping things cool, right? So your fridge is going to go down to about 4 degrees, and just to give yourself a little bit of buffer. So you know, I'm seeing that the weather may be going as high as 10 degrees, 12 degrees over the next couple of days. I would avoid keeping food outdoors. If it's not going to be cold enough, I would also avoid keeping food in the garage because the garage typically doesn't reach that cold temperature, as we all know. And then lastly, if you're keeping food outside, if the weather is cold enough to be allowing that, then two things. One is recalling that it may freeze if it's below freezing overnight. So just be aware for defrosting things. And then the second is keeping it well away from the walls of the building because that will also give some, you know, the temperature won't necessarily be as low just by the building compared to a few feet beyond. And so those are things to consider for if you're going to be keeping food outside. And then, you know, not necessarily about public health, but certainly just being part of the community, keeping in mind that critters are out and about outside as well. And so if you have a big meal planned and the star of the show is being eaten by squirrels, then that's also maybe something to consider.
Absolutely. And I can tell you from experience that if you have some beverages, loading a cooler with some snow does a great job. You know, it really surrounds the beverages nicely. I won't tell you what kind of beverages, but nonetheless, I'm just saying there's an option too for people with coolers. Dr.
Works for
Lee.
all beverages.
Oh, it does for all beverages. That's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that. No, Dr. Lee, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us as you do every week here. You're welcome to stay with us as we continue the conversation with Jenny. And Jenny, we are going to turn our attention to vaccines. Now, we have a few things that we did want to mention here, of course. Vaccine information, you've got some new information for us.
Yeah, a few new things. So, of course, Lena mentioned the approval for the new Pfizer bivalent product for the children ages 5 to 11. So just to reiterate that this is approved for a booster dose only for that age group. So any children that are eligible for that booster will start to receive that in our clinics as of today. It did get sent to our two community clinics that are going on today. And any time after for any kids that are booked into our upcoming clinics, they will receive this new product if they're there for a booster dose. And it is recommended that children in that age group do get their booster dose 6 months after their last dose. And so we know a lot of kids are in that time frame now. We also know that a lot of parents were kind of holding out and waiting for this new vaccine as well, with the additional protection that it offers with the BA4, BA5 bivalent product in it as well. So it's a great time. Now is a good time to get it done if you have been holding off on getting your child updated. If your child, though, received a booster dose with the monovalent product over the course of the last few months, they are still well protected. And so it's not necessary to rush back and get another booster for your child. They are well protected for 6 months with even that monovalent vaccine. So just want to reiterate that for parents that did go ahead and get their child immunized or boosted in the last few months as well.
All right. And Dr. Lee, you were nodding your head quite a bit to that last point. That's definitely something that I think people have been talking about, thinking, well, if there's a new vaccine, I need to have that one. And the one that we just gave, our child doesn't apply anymore. Not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, reiterating that really the most critical element of COVID-19 vaccination, and we are seeing that confirmed in the literature, is the time since the last dose of vaccine. So it's not so critical about the specific vaccine product that you receive, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, whether it's bivalent, monovalent, et cetera. It's really how long has it been since your last dose of vaccine.
Okay. Now, people are still booking vaccine appointments there, Jenny, and there's certainly a great list that they can go to on the website, but there's also some notes about vaccination clinics coming up.
Yeah, so today is a pretty pivotal day for us in the health unit. It's actually the last day of our mass community clinics. So we've got two clinics running today in Elmont and Kempville. In the new year, as I mentioned last week, we're going to be scaling back our clinics from that mass clinic model to smaller in-house clinics. And we're going to run those at five of our office sites in Brockville, Kempville, Gananoque, Smith Falls, and Elmont. And so those will start to run in January. They will be by appointment only. And I did mention last week as well that the community is very used to being able to show up for walk-in appointments at our mass community clinics. We won't be able to offer that option in the new year. So they will need to be booked appointments through our regular booking system as well. Over the holidays, we are taking a little break, allowing our staff a very well-deserved break over the Christmas holidays. However, during that time frame, a lot of our local pharmacies and some of our healthcare providers are still offering COVID vaccines. So there's likely a location near you that you are able to get your booster dose, or the 5-11 bivalent is also going to be available at pharmacies participating as well. So still lots of options for people to have access to getting their COVID vaccine before the new year. And then once we roll into January, like I said, scaling back our clinics, book an appointment through our booking center. And those that are ages 6 months to 4 years, we are still requiring those kiddos to be booked in through our call center. Again, just so we can make sure we have enough vaccine prepared for those little ones.
Has it hit you yet? Because that just hit me kind of hard when you said that. I mean, we've had it, we've talked about it, we've had it in the news and so on, you know, that the mass clinics are closing, are shutting down, you're changing to a different model. Like, holy smokes, that was such a major thing to have happen and to go. And I know you were right there every step of the way.
Yeah, it is pretty surreal. We're certainly not done, but... Yeah. You know, it's a good step right now. This morning I helped to pack up vaccine, and it dawned on me, this is the last time I'm packing up this volume of vaccine, right?
Wow.
And So it is surreal. We still don't know what the spring is going to hold. We do suspect that NACI will release some guidance early in the new year in regards to recommendations for spring boosters, if that is what is coming down the plank, or whether we will have further boosters in the fall of 2023. So more information about that to come. But yeah, it is a really surreal time. We know just from how we have rolled things out over the last 2 years that we can ramp up very quickly in the event that we need to do so in the spring. We have fantastic community partners that we have worked with over the last 2 years that are very supportive and have been highly involved throughout this whole process. Our municipalities that have offered us community spaces to use. We couldn't have done all of this without the support of the community. And for everybody who booked an appointment or showed up and got vaccinated, just a huge kudos and thank you to everybody.
I did both through my nurse practitioner and through obviously the health unit. And I mean, wow, it's pretty crazy to think that is a massive part that is coming to an end. Now, Dr. Lee, you've been here long enough to know that, you know, the main reason for this is because the public has responded so incredibly well to the plea to get vaccinated. We don't have scads and scads of people that need it anymore. You can do it in a smaller place. So if you could just before we go, just sort of speak to the response that you've seen since you've been here, and perhaps, you know, when you were down in southwestern Ontario as well.
Yeah, I gotta say, it really you know, as much as the day-to-day feels busy, when I sit back and think about COVID-19, and there's been some time for reflection, you know, it being the end of the year, and you're thinking about, oh, what have we done over the course of the year? I've really been thinking, you know, how proud I am of our staff and our health unit who've worked so hard. And it's been, you know, the mass immunizations clinics is just one example of the dedication and passion that our staff have had. And I really want to also put a plug in for Jenny. Thank you, Jenny, for your work on that. Mm-hmm. And also how proud I am of the community who've come together, so many players, right? Members of the public, clinical sectors, so like the hospital and primary care clinics and pharmacists and all of that. I think it's taken so much of a network, and it's been a strengthened network. And then also how appreciative I am of the generosity of people in this community in spreading the word with each other, the commitment to each other, which is really what I think the vaccination rates demonstrate. You know, of course, protection for yourself, but also I think people have really been thinking about protecting other people and the people in their lives, their loved ones, and then also people in their community who they may not know personally, but there's a sense of community. And I think that's really strong here. I know that's a strong part of the culture of this region, other rural regions across Ontario. But I think, you know, our vaccination rates have demonstrated all of that in full force, and I'm sure will continue to be the case down the road as well.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. And hats off to you, Jenny, and your team. We know that you've had some incredible people that you've been working with since day one. People have come and gone as well. Lots of volunteers as well that helped to make it happen too. But really, I mean, just a heartfelt thanks from everyone, really, for the work that was done. And yeah, it's a historic day, I guess you'd say.
It is. It's just been such a cool thing to be a part of. And I know it's been tiring and exhausting for all of our staff, but we will always look back on this as being just such a highlight of our careers and just in supporting the community. Just a huge shout out to my vaccine team. They have been so phenomenal and have worked tirelessly for the last couple of years. So it's been a group effort, a team effort, and to our community partners as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of In Focus. Again, thank you to Dr. Lena Lee and Jenny Vandermeer for being here. No show next week, so you get it off. We're doing a best of next week. I'd put one of, you know, our health unit episodes in the best of, but people might hear it and get wrong information. So I don't want to do that. So we'll be back with the health unit in a couple of weeks here for sure. But yeah, some best of stuff coming up next week. We still have a couple more shows to go this week, of course. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Oh, health unit information can be found at healthunit.org. Don't forget to go there. So much at that website. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.